Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Character traits that are a danger to your future. So last week we started speaking about pride. Hallelujah. Let's go to the book of Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. And verse 1. Job chapter 1 and verse 1. Are we there? The Bible says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Let's jump to verse 6. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. The Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered and answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." Hallelujah. By the way, I found another scripture that connects to this one. Satan says that he comes from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. Hallelujah. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 9, just write it down, I'll read it for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 9. The Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about." You see that walking? "Walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." So Satan's walking up and down, he's busy searching for a candidate to be devoured. Hallelujah. Are you going to be that candidate? Are you next in line to be devoured by the devil? Can I hear some Christians in church? Are you next in line to be devoured? If the devil has been devouring your life, enough is enough. Someone say, enough is enough. Yeah. From today, my life is a no-go zone. It's a no-go area. Amen. Not allowed for the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say, not allowed. Yeah. Somebody say, devil, you are not allowed. Yeah. Somebody say, Satan, you are not allowed. Yeah. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I was talking to Karabo on Friday, and he was telling me that a lot of his school colleagues, classmates, they don't go to church on Sundays. Are you listening to me? And I turned it around and I said, you know, I don't even blame your friends, your colleagues. I blame the parents. Because of the ignorance of your parents, of their parents, I mean. Me, my daughter, if I'm in church, she's in church. Even when she grows and she starts having some own opinion, Sunday, you are in church. Mamrute was just telling me where we stay, there was a fire about 2 months back, a month back, and so the cupboards got burnt. So the cupboards are now being fixed. So the guys who are coming to fix the cupboards, one of them was there working yesterday, and my daughter went and sat next to him. And apparently he was listening to hip-hop music. Do you understand? And my daughter went to him and said, "Why do you listen to the devil's music?" And when my daughter asks you a question, there's no way to go. You will answer whether you like it or you don't like it. And the guy tried to, and he said, why do you listen to the devil's music? And eventually the guy said, your mother is calling you. So she ran to her mother, and because the mother was listening to the conversation, she said, I'm not calling you. Then she went back to the guy. Why are you listening to the devil's music? And my wife said that before she knew it, she heard the guy playing, what was the song? Spirit lead me well. Now the guy was listening to Hillsong. When I was told the story, I said, the guy will learn to listen to the devil's music in other people's homes. He will learn. Hallelujah. Amen. But you see, many parents, they don't care. They don't teach. They don't train. The Bible says, bring up your child in the way that he should grow. He should go. In other words, it's your responsibility that your child knows God from a young age. It's your responsibility as a parent. How can your child say, I'm a Muslim and you are a Christian? You must be ashamed of yourself. Are you listening to me? Yeah. And so how many people are misled is by this, that perhaps the child seems to be well behaved at home. The child seems to be doing well at school. Everything seems to be cool. That guy is walking around. I pray that he doesn't come to your street because he's looking for whom he may devour. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So if he's planning to come to your house, you see, when God, let's continue reading. Verse 7, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. Verse 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Verse 10, Satan says, has not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he had on every side? So Satan was saying, I've been there. I've been to his house. But when he went to Job's house, he realized that there's no entry. Someone say, no entry. But other people's homes, there's entry, full door, open. In other people's homes, rather they are saying, we've been waiting for you. When the day of trouble comes, it must find you prayed up. Are you listening to me, somebody? Yeah. So pray when everything is going well. Wake up in the morning and talk to your God. Thank him for his goodness. Just show him love. And just allow your spirit to roar. When everything is going well. Don't now try to be doing it when things are now scrambled. Have you noticed when things are hard, it's even hard to pray? One time my friend was going through some things and I said, sir, don't worry, I'm praying for you. And he said, I need your prayers. Because when you are going through heavy things, even to open your mouth and talk to God is tough. It's tough. So when everything is cool, when there's no war around your life, be praying. Are you listening to me, somebody?
Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But what I want us to notice here is that this gentleman, Job, the Bible says he was upright and he was perfect. He was complete. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Now the problem is, there are things in our lives that if we don't take heed, if we are not careful, if we don't work on them, they become a danger for our future. Character traits. You know, coming from the working world, I have seen people who are brilliant but are useless. Honors degree but useless. When it comes to studying and doing tests and assignment, number one. But when it comes to working, useless. When there's pressure, useless. There was a guy that I used to work with. They even gave him a nickname, YouTube. His name was YouTube. When people were talking about him in the office, they say, "Is YouTube here?" No, YouTube didn't come. Because he will walk in the morning and put on YouTube. From 8 till 5, YouTube. When people pass, then it looks like he's working. When you pass again, back to YouTube. The whole day. Very useless guy. And I think eventually he got fired. Then he went and worked somewhere else and he got fired again. So you see that it's not that, you know, there were things fighting him. But his own personality, his own character was the problem that was fighting his future. And so we have to discover what are some of the things that are in us that can be a danger for my tomorrow. Sometimes these things are in us and we can rise to the top. But you can never stay at the top when with those things in you. And one of them, as we've discussed, is pride. And the Bible tells us, that, I think it's Proverbs chapter 16, that pride comes before the fall. When Satan sometimes wants to take you down, he will make you proud. Then once the pride enters your heart, it's just a matter of time. There's no more work they have to do. They just wait that you will destroy yourself slowly but surely because of the pride that is in you. One day, there was a couple, and the couple was a pastor and his wife. So give me Ruth, li mam Ruth. And all of a sudden, they started having problems. And they went to another pastor called Kenneth Hagin to, you know, please help us. We are going through this difficult time in our marriage. When Kenneth Hagin started praying for them, all of a sudden, he fell into a vision. And God took him to the room of this couple. And he saw this lady preparing herself in the morning, like she's going to work or going to church or whatever. And as she was preparing, doing makeups, there was this thing that was like a monkey came and sat on the lady's shoulder. And the monkey was saying, "But wait to Pila." And like the way that when the monkey talks, the woman is like she's thinking. It's like, "Wait to Pila. I'm so beautiful. You know, I'm too beautiful just to be a mom Ruti. You know, I should be working as a movie star or something." This monkey is talking, this lady is thinking.
Amen.
And these thoughts, as this lady thought them, they were becoming like a dark ball in her mind. And the more that she thought about them, this ball will start traveling down. It's making a journey to her heart. And every morning, as she's preparing herself, as she's preparing, this monkey, like clockwork, would come and sit on her shoulder and just be spitting vomit on her mind. And she'll also be swallowing it. And And this thing will be coming down, until it entered her heart. When it entered her heart, she wanted to divorce her husband. She left church. She left the faith. And she went to try to be a movie star. And I don't even think that she became a movie star, because, you see, it was the monkey. Just fed her with pride. Fed her with pride. Fed her with pride until it became part of her. And then destroyed her life. Are we together?
Amen.
Dangerous thing. There's a book called The Final Quest, written by Rick Joyner. Now, it's about, it's a vision that he has, where he sees the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of darkness, and there was a war. And there was a mountain there that he had to climb. When you get to the top of the mountain, that's where you meet the Lord himself. That's where you experience the presence of God. So he climbed that mountain and he got to the top, experienced God, experienced the presence. Now when he was coming down, because he went up, then he came down to continue fighting the war. Now when he was coming down, somebody gave him something to wear. It looked like filthy rags. And they said, wear this, it will help you. So when he looked at it, he said, but this thing is so dirty. Then they just said, wear it, it will help you. Then he wore it. Then he wasn't aware that the enemy was 5-2 destroying him. Because of where he had been, his armor was shining. And the glory now was preventing him from seeing. Because it was shining too much. So when he wore that garment, it's a garment called humility. Then suddenly he could see properly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So pride is the first sin in the whole universe. The first sin was not Adam and Eve eating from the... Why are you saying apple? I know, because, you know, on TV and everything, they always show them eating an apple. But we don't know what fruit it was. We don't know. The Bible calls it the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. An apple tree is the fruit of the... So we don't know. We don't know that. Hallelujah. So that was not the first sin. The first sin was actually in heaven. When an angel, Lucifer, became proud and wanted the same position as God. He wanted them to say, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and of Lucifer. Who's sealed, man? So that pride in him was the first sin in the whole universe. The whole universe. It's a problem, this thing. Now, to continue today, I think I gave you 3 points last week. A proud person has a lot of I's in their language. Do you remember? A proud person is an equalizer. A proud person does not recognize authority and does not honor it. You see, Lucifer was not recognizing God as an authority figure, and lost the appetite to honor God as God. Rather, he started being jealous of the honor that God was receiving, and he wanted the same thing. Are you listening to me? Now, another thing I need you to be aware of about pride is that pride is selfish. Pride is selfish. Hallelujah. Pride is what? It's selfish. Now, you can't be a believer and be selfish. We see our master, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who was in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That is Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 3, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. Have you ever heard a voice walking? That was Jesus walking in the garden. Now that person, as glorious as he is, one time he sat down, grabbed a towel, and set his disciples down and started washing their feet. One by one, washing their feet. When it came to Peter, Peter thought he was clever. He said, "You will never wash my feet." One by one, he washed all their feet. The Bible says, two of them, I think it's the sons of Zebedee, I think it's John and James, they came to Jesus and they said, we want to be the greatest in the kingdom. We want to sit at your right hand side and on your left hand side. Then Jesus explained and said, the kingdom that I belong to, he says, there, the one who serves is the greatest. The one who does what? Who serves is the greatest. But you see, pride doesn't want to serve because it's selfish. It's only about me. It's only about who? Me. That's the attitude of pride. And that's why it becomes so destructive. So as a believer, you must be ready to serve. If you've been coming to the house of God year after year, or let me say week after week, month after month, year after year, and you are not serving, there's something wrong. Please, the amens must always be loud. I'm still in church. You must have a desire to serve. You must serve. That is our job here, to serve. Amen. That is your job as a believer, to serve. Amen. They went and asked the Lord Jesus and said, what is the greatest commandment? He said, it is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart. That's the first one. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And he said, the second one is to love your neighbor as thyself. You must serve. You must serve. Hallelujah. Yeah. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, are you serving in the house of God? Demand an answer. What are they saying? At the back, are you here? Are you serving in the house of God? Pride is selfish. 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 Every man of God I know, every woman of God I know, every true believer I know, they are selfless people. Sacrificial people. They will sacrifice their lives. In 1 John chapter 3 verse 16, the Bible says, by this we know love, that he died for us. And then it says, so we also, we must lay down our lives for the brethren. Selfless. We sacrifice our lives for somebody else. That is the nature of Christ. And it is the nature that must be living and breathing in you and me, that you are willing to lay down your life for somebody else so that they can have life. And what is life? In John chapter 17 verse 3, it says, and this is life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent. That is life. The enemy cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it in abundance. A believer is someone who ministers life. In the book of Daniel, I believe, if not Proverbs, the Bible says that, you see, we are trees of life. Why? Because we are selfless. We give our lives for others. somebody else so that they may know Jesus, so that they may escape hell. So I want you to check yourself as a believer. Are you selfless? Are you giving your life for somebody else? Are you paying a price for somebody else that they may know him? When I was praying during the week, I was really troubled in my heart, and I poured out my spirit to the Lord. One of our daughters here came to me after church last week and said, "Pastor," and told me about one of the guys who used to come to our church. And apparently this gentleman is now caught by drugs, if I can say that. Someone who came here, even on our stage here. Our brother. Are you listening to me? And the person told me a story that this gentleman, I think he had been using, and is carrying knives and is terrorizing the family and tried to stab one of the siblings, and then afterwards tried to stab the mother. Our own. So I was crying out to God. I said, "Lord, you must come to Healing Fire Ministries. Your presence must be here. Your presence must be here." Someone else was telling me another story of someone we know, not even someone, you know, that we don't know, someone we know. The person's mother was telling this person that, you know, when this person was coming to your church, the person's life changed so much that even in the house, the person was helping around, the person was helping financially, the person was this, the person was that, had so many good things to say. Then the person left the church for whatever reason that I don't know. Apparently now the mother is crying. Even when the mother will try to get a job for the person is drinking so much that can't even go to work the next day because they are still suffering from the effects of the alcohol. Our own. Not some far-fetched person that we don't know. Our own. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Amen.
Now, if we really have the love of Christ, it can't be life goes on as usual. It must burden us. Because this is our walk with God. It's about others. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. There must be a cry in our hearts for our fellow brother, for our fellow sister.
Amen.
And we must be willing to lay down our lives for the next person.
Amen.
We must be willing to pay whatever price necessary. The price of prayer, the price of fasting, the price of outreach, the price of whatever it is that we have to do, the price of visiting. The price of phoning, the price of SMS, something to show that there is Christ living in you and me. But you see, pride only sees you. Mr. Holier than thou. Me, I've got no sins. Hallelujah. Do me say, born angel. You see, you are holier than thou. You are holier. You come to church, you lift your hands, I mean everything, but your fellow brother and sister are suffering. We've developed the attitude of what's that guy in the Bible? Cain. When God asked him, "Where's Abel, thy brother?" He said, "Am I my brother's keeper? Why are you troubling me about other people?" Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. My message is not nice today, is it? I was telling somebody that I don't plan what I'm... Me, I just come and open my mouth. What comes out, comes out. Hallelujah. Say, neighbor, what price have you paid for your neighbor? What price have you paid? What price are you paying? Some people, Mamruti, they're not even paying a price for themselves. For themselves. Before we even jump to the neighbor. You are a danger to yourself. When I was praying during the week, one of the things that came up was that, because I was thinking, what happened is that one of the days when I was waking up, I found it very difficult. But I pushed. When I removed the blanket, then I said, this is why it's so difficult this morning. It was quite chilly. It was cold. So I was now starting to think that, you know, we are not in winter yet. And my body is already reacting to the cold. What's going to happen when proper winter comes? Then I realized I need to get a heater for the room so that come what may, I wake up, I pray. And when I think about a heater, the first thing that comes to my mind is money. It's expensive. Then I sense in my spirit, I heard a voice. Prayerlessness is more expensive. It is more expensive that to be prayerless than to pay a little extra money to be warm so that you can pray. And I started thinking about this and I said, wow. How many times we try to save money, save, not knowing that the thing that we are trying to save is more expensive. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Amen. I was reading a scripture in Job. I forgot the chapter and the verse. And it was talking about bribing and how destructive bribing is. And I couldn't believe it. You are driving your car, a traffic police stops you. And he says, then you say, oh, sorry. Then he said, don't say sorry, got cold drink. Do you understand? And you give him 20 rand, 50 rand, whatever amount you give him. That amount that you give that guy is so expensive you don't even understand. Because it has the potential to destroy your life. You are better off going to collect the ticket of 1,000 than to pay the 20 rand. The 20 rand is more expensive than the 1,000. You see, when you are doing the transaction, it doesn't look. But in the spirit, you've opened the door. And Satan is not in a hurry. It can take 20 years to use that door. It's not in a hurry. They can wait for you because you see, your life at the moment, there's nothing. But when you rise and you reach the top, and hey, now let's use the door that they opened for us some 20 years ago. You get a job through Jojo. You get a... It's too expensive. Too expensive. Too expensive. Too expensive. You just don't realize as the transaction is taking place. Just give it some time, you will see the devil. face to face, he will face you. Am I talking to somebody?
Yeah.
Say, neighbor, in the name of Jesus, I will no longer be selfish. I will think about my brother. I will think about my sister in the Lord. In Jesus' name, put your hands together for the Lord. Then the other thing about this pride is that it causes the person who is proud to become a rebel. Someone say rebel.
A
rebel. When pride was found in Lucifer's heart, he became a rebel. Instead of saying, "Oh Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't notice I was pride. Please, proud, please forgive me, please have mercy on me," Lucifer rather decided to stage a rebel. He went to God's army and convinced 1/3 of God's angels to rebel against God. Till today, they are still rebelling. Hello, are you here? Someone who's proud, sooner or later, will stage rebellion. Can rebel against even the word of God, can rebel against church, can rebel against the faith, can rebel against anything. It's the pride that they've been harboring in their hearts. Let me show you a scripture. Come to 1 Samuel. Chapter 15. And verse 22. 1 Samuel. Chapter 15. From verse 22. Are you there? Say, neighbor, are you planning a rebellion? What are they saying? 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 22 reads, "And Samuel said, had the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Someone say, to obey,
obey
is better than sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
You know, some people, they can say that, you know, me, pastor, I don't believe in tithes. I don't tithe, but I help people. Say, I help people. See, to obey is better than sacrifice. Obey. Don't try to be smarter than God. When he says we do this, we do it. Don't come with your own ideas. Hey, wait now, Namrudi. I can give offering, but tithe. Hey. You see, that offering cannot be accepted. I may accept it as a human being, but to God's eyes, you are a rebel. Because you don't want to obey. Hello?
Yeah.
There are people, they can bring offering, but tell them to pray. Oh, some of us are busy, pastor. We are busy. It's not that your money that we are after. Just obey God. I listen to what I'm saying. Obey. Obedience is very important. Don't wait for life to beat you before you start thinking that, let me try to obey. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus learned obedience through the many things he suffered. So don't wait to suffer before you obey. I listen to what I'm saying.
Amen.
Just obey. Just obey God. Sometimes when God is leading you, it seems like he himself doesn't have a brain. So just obey him, please. Hello?
Amen.
Just please obey him. Lord, I don't have money. You want me to give a tenth? What nonsense is that? Just obey.
Amen.
Obey.
Amen.
And just let God be God and you be a man. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this. When I preach, there's no one in my mind, okay? So I don't come here to preach up against someone.
Amen.
I'm just preaching, okay? If the thing is coming to you, then look at him. Please look at him. Me, I'm just sharing the word of God. Am I not showing you scriptures? It's in the Bible, please. Your beef is with him, not with me. Don't shoot the messenger. I was told that I was preaching one day and somebody said, every time pastor is preaching, he's looking at me. I said, what? So how must I preach? Must I preach like this? People will surprise you. Verse 23. For rebellion, are you there?
Yes.
For rebellion is as the sin of what? I can't hear you. At the back, are you here? For rebellion is the sin as what? Is the sin of what? In other words, when you become a rebel, you and a witch, same WhatsApp group. Precious, am I saying something? I can't believe it. When you rebel against God, when you rebel against his word, when you rebel against his instructions, you and a witch, he doesn't see a difference. It's just that the other one knows that I'm a witch and I bewitch people. You act like you umzalwan. But when God looks, he sees same. The sin of rebellion is the same as witchcraft. You see how problematic pride is. You can even end up being a witch. I was listening to a certain man of God, and he said, he asked God, he said, Lord, what is witchcraft? And God said to him that, you see, witchcraft is when you want to have dominion or dominate something using powers that don't come from me. So he says that witchcraft, its ultimate aim is dominion. To dominate, to control, but using forces that don't come from God. When I heard that, I said, now you are talking. Continue. I was listening to the guy. Then he said there's three types of witchcraft, but there's one that he mentioned that I was shocked. In the book of Galatians chapter 5 verse 22, okay, quickly go there, quickly. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22. Sorry, I think it's actually verse 19. Are you there?
Yeah.
For the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Now, already this is interesting. He's about to list the works of the flesh. Flesh. Are you there? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. He mentions witchcraft as a work of the flesh. Witchcraft as the work of the flesh. Now remember, witchcraft has the aim to dominate. And so he was explaining that the way that witchcraft manifests in the flesh is through manipulation or through I forgot the term he used, but like through intimidation. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Intimidation. Through manipulation, through intimidation with the aim of dominion. Now, how does this thing work practically? Let's say you are a married couple. There's husband, there's wife. And the wife wants to have her way concerning something particular in the marriage. Instead of sitting down with the husband and say, look, we need to talk. And you discuss whatever issues you have and come to a conclusion as a couple and work and you know, and continue living together. Rather, the wife will start throwing tantrums. And the type of tantrums are, you know, hi, how are you? Gishap. When it's time for cooking, they burn the food. What is she doing? She's manipulating the guy to have her way, to dominate. The guy, I mean, I was so amazed as I was listening to this guy. He says that even children can manipulate. The child knows that you don't want him or her to have cookies. But when you have visitors, they know that you can't say no. So while you are sitting with your visitor, they say, mommy, can I please have some cookies? And you say, take some cookies, go away. It's manipulation to dominate you. You see, if you are not aware of it, you don't know that you are being manipulated. Even a child that you can't even crawl can manipulate. Let's say the child wets themselves in the napkin. And they cry because they are wet. And they need to be changed. But then, okay, you will change them and then you will carry them and cuddle them. And they like that cuddling. And then also, oh, when I cry, I am cuddled. So even when the napkin is not wet, they will cry because there is manipulation. Hey. With the aim of dominion. There's a story of a family where when they are going to the mall, they'll prepare the child. We are going to the mall Saturday, prepare the child, everything. The child is cool, nice, and they go. But on Sunday, when it's time for church, the child will cry like there's nobody's business, to the point where the parents don't go to church. Manipulation. And normally how it works on males use intimidation, force. They can even use violence with the aim to dominate. Hey! Some of you've married a witch Molloy, who uses intimidation to dominate you. You and all the children are afraid of him. You're afraid. Even when you are going home, the children, paputeng hai, paputeng. They are afraid because he uses intimidation to dominate the family, to control everybody, to make everybody do what they want to do. Eesh. When the Bible says that, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. You think God is on drugs, eh? Be careful. I was reading a scripture in Ephesians, I think it's chapter 5, where Paul said that he who hates his wife hates himself. I said, wow. Now look at me reading this scripture. Can I hate my wife after that scripture? I will love my wife. And you have married someone who can't read that scripture. They will never be able to love you. What happened to the amens? Have I said something wrong? Can you please say an amen to encourage me? I'm still talking about pride. It's a problem. It produces rebellion. And rebellion and witchcraft are friends. They are neighbors. They are twins. Some of us sitting, as I'm preaching, you've just realized that I've been bewitching my family. Been bewitching them. Using manipulation, using intimidation. This is my wife. If I want to do something, I have to convince her. We have to talk. Why you? You always have to be a lion before things are done. Can't you talk? God gave you a brain. If what you want to happen is really that important, come give the points. Let's have a discussion. Show the other person why this is important. And if also the person is not proud, that's okay, I know you're right. Let's try it that way. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So even in the church, people can use intimidation. They can use manipulation. In the church, they use manipulation a lot. Someone can be trying to lead the pastor from the back and manipulate the pastor. Hey! That's why, see, many people, they say I'm stubborn. I'm not stubborn. I don't just do things. I have to wait to hear. Is the Spirit saying the same thing? If I don't feel the Spirit doing the same thing, it's okay. Call me whatever you want to call me. The one I'm serving is God. You are not my God. God is my God. Yes. I listen to what I'm saying. Yeah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Say in the name of Jesus. All forms of pride. I let them go now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yeah. Can you see? You can end up being a rebel at your workplace. Conspiring against your boss. Conspiring against other colleagues. Using manipulation and intimidation. Because you want to have your way at your workplace. In your home. At school. Wherever. When God looks at you, he sees a witch. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when you see pride, it's a big... Remember, that's the oldest one. It's the first one that came that brought all the problems that we have today because of the sin of pride. So don't allow that thing to be the thing that destroys your life, destroys your career, destroys your destiny, destroys your family, destroys your relationships. Don't allow it. Don't allow it. Don't allow it.
Amen.
Don't allow it. Amen. Tell anybody, say, don't allow it, please. Don't, please. Don't. Are you still in church?
Amen.
If you're a wife, don't manipulate your husband. If you're a husband, don't intimidate your wife. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you are single, marry a Christian.
Amen.
If Mangoba is not a Christian, run away. No, don't laugh. Say amen. Just, if Susan is not a Christian, balega. Nginyawo zombili. Somebody even made a song like that. It's balega. Nginyawo zombili. Don't use one, use both to run away. God is not on drugs. He knows what he's saying. It's for our own good. The amens are starting to disappear a little bit. One time a sister came and told Mom Ruth and I that there is a brother. I said, there's a brother. Who is this brother? And it was someone we didn't know. And my first question will always be, is he born again? Amen. And she wasn't sure. Like, see, it's already a red flag. You are not sure. Not sure whether the person is born again. I said, sister, the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. What does light have to do with darkness? It's in the Bible. Hello?
Amen.
Oh, Jesus. So, anyway, the other day, Mom Ruti was coming back from work and she was waiting online to catch a taxi and she sees a brother. And Mom Ruti waves at the brother because he once came to church and so on and so forth. So the brother didn't realize that it's Mom Ruti and was waving back so as to try and ukshela. What is ukshela in English? To try and propose to Mom Ruti. But as the guy was getting closer, he realized that it's Mom Ruti. When Mom Ruti told me, I said, we keep it to ourselves. Because we've already made the advice. Do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. This unbeliever is even trying to propose Mom Ruti. That's why I say, some people when they enter into relationships, I say they are brave. They are stronger than all of us. I respect you. Pastor, stop going there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that is the problem of pride. It can destroy your life. And pride can be at the level where it's even destroying other people's lives. There are people who are in relationships that are miserable because they've married a proud person. Can never listen to what you have to say. Can never take what you have to say. It's his way or the highway. It's her way or the highway. It's not a partnership. It's only one person in this thing. You are miserable. The source of the problem is pride. You have fallen in love with a proud person. You've associated yourself with a proud person. And you are miserable. Are you listening to me, somebody? So don't let this thing trouble you in terms of your personal life. Don't let it trouble you in terms of your career. Don't. And you must be able to see it. Don't only see that, oh, the guy, get yellow bone, nali di six packs, wait a habulela. Don't be a fool, please. Don't be a fool. Hello? Remember, am I saying something? I'm helping someone. Is my time up? Do I still have time? Is my time finished? All right, let's rise to our feet. Hallelujah. Now remember that pride is a tricky enemy. It's not something that is easily seen. But I think I've given you some little things that you can watch out for. Do you understand? Amen. That when you see, you can start working on them. You know, every solution that I have is pray, read the Bible. Every solution. You know, I wish I had other solutions. There are times that, you know, there's a demon of pride that can enter someone that we can cast out. But there are times where your character, you are proud. Your attitude is that of a proud person. That is something that you have to work on. Do you understand?
Thank you for listening to the powerful Word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-5912-858. God bless you.